11 minutes after 4, South African time. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. It's the 22nd of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International, and of course, our beloved, wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and of course, our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Welcome to As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah, Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 22nd of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443, and we continue with the tafsir and commentary of the Noble Quran. Our starting point is Chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse 84. Before we explain to you this verse, there is a wonderful incident, and inshallah it will inspire every person who has some connection with the Noble Quran. On one occasion, some people came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu wardah. He was, is, will always be the first person and successor of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the greatest and is and will always be the greatest person to walk on this earth after all the prophets and messengers, peace be upon them. Now we find these people came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, Ya Khalifata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyatu ayatin arja indaka fi kitabillah. Which ayat, which verse of the Noble Quran, 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, motivated, inspired you the most in the Noble Quran? Imagine we read this verse 100 times, 1,000 times, but this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda. He said, this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. He said the ayat and the verse that motivated, inspired me the most, chapter 17, verse 84. Qul, kullu ya'malu ala shakilati. You say, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Habib Allah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu ya'malu ala shakilati. Everyone practices according to their own nature, their own disposition. So, Ya Allah, we as human being, it's our nature that we are weak, we will continue sinning. And Ya Allah, you are Ghaffar, you are Ghafoor, you will keep on forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. So he said, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, this portion of the Noble Quran motivated me the most, chapter 17 and verse number 84. Some people went to Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, and they asked him, which ayat, which verse motivated you the most in the Noble Quran? So he, Sayyidina Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, the second successor of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, chapter 40 and verse number 3, غَافِرِ ذَنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدِ الْإِقَابِ. Who is Almighty Allah? Ghafirizam. He forgives the sins. Waqabilitob. He accepts our repentance when we beg forgiveness. He accepts it. And thereafter he speaks about Shadid al-Iqab. His punishment is very severe. And Zitod, he has the power and the ability, capacity to unleash that punishment, chastisement. Chapter 4, verse number 3. So that ayat and verse motivated me the most. That was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and his reply. Then some people went to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the third successor of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, remember he is Zunnurain. He married two daughters of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one after the other. First Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and thereafter Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. So he was asked, which verse motivated you the most? He said, chapter 15 and verses 49 and 50. Chapter 15, 1-5, and verses 49 and 50. Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-ghafurur rahim. You, ya Rasulullah, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inform the people. Ibadi, inform my servants, Allah is saying, anni ana al-ghafurur rahim. I am of forgiving, very, very forgiving, and very, very merciful. So Allah speaks of His forgiveness, of His mercy that is infinite. Wa anna adhabi huwa al-adhabul alim. And thereafter, Almighty Allah speaks about His punishment that is very, very painful. People went to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the fourth successor of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, he is also the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they asked him, which ayat motivated you the most? So he said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You address the people and tell them that, Ya Rasulullah, my servants, that they must never become disillusioned and they must never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. They are the ones that remember, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Never become disappointed, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Why? Verily Allah forgives all the sins. Chapter number 39, verse 53. Chapter 39, verse 53. Subhanallah, therefore every verse of the noble Quran is called ayah, a sign and a symbol of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Today's lesson, chapter 17, verse number 84. Qul, say ya Rasulallah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu ya'malu ala shakilati. Everyone practices according to their own disposition. So we will continue sinning and Allah will continue forgiving, provided that we are sincere. فَرَبُّكُمْ, hence your sustainer, nourisher, provider. أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا. Only He is all-knowing, that who is that person, the he, the she, أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا, who is the most guided on the right path. So we must continue with our effort, trying to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, pleasing the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whether people are pleased or not pleased, that must not bother us. Our aim must be always to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, according to the manner, method, pattern shown to us by the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today we have few announcements, inshaAllah Al-Aziz. Between 1:30 and 2, we will complete and conclude Surah Ibrahim. So that will bring an end to the 13 Jews, the 13th part of the Noble Quran. All this is the grace and the mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. I sent out the podcast and the broadcast already, but anybody still wants it, then just send tafsir, and on my number, WhatsApp number 071-888-1184, and just write tafsir, and we will send you the podcast. Then inshallah Al-Aziz, this program here, between 3 and half past 3, there will be a repeat, and between 6 and 8, Mawla, our brother Suleiman Esau's program, Naat Kirat, so that will continue. Tonight, inshallah, 8:30 is Isha Salat Jamaat, there in King Ross. I will be there, inshallah Al-Aziz, and we'll have a program. It will not be live on radio, but inshallah, the people who are nearby, Trichardt and Leslie, Leandra, and so forth, so they can attend, inshallah, at the King Ross Masjid. And thereafter, remember that tomorrow morning we don't have this program. Tomorrow, 2 to 4 in the afternoon, inshallah, with Hafiz Wadi, we will have the Q&A, and we will start Surah Hijr. That is chapter number 15 of the Noble Quran. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Barakallahu fi.
Ustaz, let's start with Brother Iqbal this Saturday morning. He says, "Dear Mufti, people come to my house asking for money for the church. Must we give them money or refuse them?" Brother Iqbal, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Iqbal, you know, Almighty Allah has mentioned a golden principle. This is the golden maxim in Islam. You must refer to it. Chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 2. The verse is long. Look right at the bottom. You will find it. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. You must only cooperate in goodness and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You must never cooperate and assist in sin and transgression. So if you give money, so what are they going to do? They're going to promote the Trinity. They will tell the people Christmas, remember, is on 25th of December. They will speak about this, about how Jesus was crucified. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. All this here we reject as Muslims, remember, that we don't believe in Trinity, we believe in monotheism. There's only one supreme being. He has no parents, no children, no partners, no associates. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Chapter number 112 of the Noble Quran, short chapter, encyclopedic meaning and powerful, potent message regarding the oneness, uniqueness of Almighty Allah. Then they say, because they say December is coming, so we know they will tell the people and their flock that Jesus was born on 25th of December, a lie according to the Quran and according to the Bible, and nowhere is that mentioned in the scripture. So again they are taking the masses who are asses for a ride, remember that, and propagated the wrong things. So therefore it's not permissible for a Muslim to contribute to a church or a synagogue or a temple or what have you. Definitely unacceptable and not permissible.
I see a sister and brother from Benoni says, when pelting shaitan, Ustad, in Hajj, must the pebble fall in the circle, Ustad? And what happens if it falls outside the circle, Ustad?
My brother, my sister from Benoni, Actonville, or Lakefield, wherever you are, I think you are reading the old kitabs. You must remember, there's no circle, there's no pillar, nothing now. All that shaitans disappeared, remember that. Now they've got four floors, so 12 shaitans. And it's a big wall, so you must just throw and it must hit the wall. And you can't miss that, even a blind person will hit it. So once it does that, so then it is accepted. So there's no more a pillar there, there's no more a circle there. That was 20, 30 years ago now. So that is finished. So now there's a huge big wall. If you're coming from Aziziyah, Makkah side, then there are two floors. If you're coming from Mina side. So then there are two floors. So that's how they have four floors, and every floor got three Jamarat, the three symbolic Satan and Lucifer and Shaitan, and then you pelt it. So remember, inshallah, if somebody is coming this side, then they just tell them, I'll send you my Hajj Kitab, and inshallah, then you read it, and then you perform Hajj, inshallah. All of you who want to go for Umrah, you want to go for Hajj, every Muslim wants to go, but remember the halat. Yesterday I received a message, Saudi Gazette say, no, all flights from South Africa, and that finished now, that you can't land in Saudi Arabia, and so forth. So they know what they are doing, Allah alone knows what the truth, and so forth. But anyway, that's the latest breaking news. But we must never lose hope. You just did the verse now, chapter 39, verse 53. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever become disillusioned in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. You, O Muslim, O Muslimah, you want to go for the minor pilgrimage, Umrah. You want to go for Hajj, the pilgrimage. Keep on reading daily. Two rakat salat. Qul ya kafirun, qul ulallah. After Surah Fatiha, obviously. And by heart, and memorize this verse. Surah 2, chapter 2, verse 128. Wa arina manasikana wa tubalina. O Allah, you show us the places of Umrah and Hajj. Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat. All that you show us. Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifa, M3, 3M. That constitutes the haram. Arafat is out of the haram. So, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. O Allah, you are the one that are of forgiving, very merciful. So, place our trust in Almighty Allah and not human beings and politicians and governments.
Ustad, the question says here that Mufti Saab, I am zakatable and I went to an Islamic organization for assistance, for help. I am a revert. And I was asked, where is my certificate to prove that I am a Muslim? So Mufti Saab, do all Muslims get a certificate when they are born? And do I have to write a test to get one? Brother Faya, I think it's Faisal Ustad.
My brother Faisal, try and spell your name correctly, my brother, F-A-Y-S-A-L, Faisal, or F-A-I-S-A-L, it means you are a decisive person. So, Al-Qawlul Faisal, the decisive verdict and so forth. So, some people spell it incorrectly with a Z and so forth. Like our Junaid Mota, is Junaid, but they spell Z, Zunaid. So no, it's Junaid, the small army. So when he comes here, he's army of jinnats are ready for him. So you must remember to that how we people, you know, they don't know how to spell properly. Anyway, that's a separate topic. So you, my brother Faisal, so in a case like that, I told you yesterday also, every person who embraces Islam of paramount importance is the Imam, the Sheikh, the Maulana Mufti who made you a Muslim. Tell him he must give you an affidavit that upon your death, remember that there everything must happen according to the Islamic law. The burial, the funeral, and everything else, so we don't have problems with the family of that person there. So it's very good idea that you can tell the person that the Imam, the Sheikh, that he can write an affidavit that so and so person embraced Islam. It's not a prerequisite, but today there are so many chances, my brother Faisal. Anybody just goes and say, I'm a Muslim, and it's right for the organization to say, you know, we don't know who's a Muslim, not a Muslim. So many people are just taking chances. And zakat, we need to be extremely careful. It must be given to poor Muslims only. Sadaqah and normal voluntary charity can be given to anybody, poor Muslim, poor non-Muslim. So therefore, both parties need to do something. You, my brother Faisal, go to the Imam, the Sheikh who made you Muslim, and tell him he must just sign some document that he made you Muslim on this day, on this date and so forth. And more important is regarding the affidavit that must state that upon your death you must be buried according to the Islamic rules and laws. That is of paramount importance for every revert, whether you're in South Africa, Africa, or any other part of the world, so the Muslims don't have problem with the family of the deceased, because many of them are non-Muslims. Now imagine he passes away, there's a big conflict, tussle going on. So that's why we mentioned it.
I see Brother Felix Ustad from Durban. He says, good morning, sir. You guys believe in a life after death. So my question to you this morning, sir, is we know that anything living will die. So for how long will you live after death in the next life? I want to record you and learn from this. Ustad, Brother Felix.
My brother Felix, maybe you come from Phoenix. So anyway, my brother Felix, very good question. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the Noble Quran, Kullu Shay'in Halikun Illa Wajha. Everybody, everything will perish. Because we are makhluk, we are creation. Creation means that we have a starting and we have an ending. And remember that we were born and then we will die. So whether a person dies in a hospital or in a clinic or at home or whatever you, but the fact remains that death will overcome everybody, everything. You want the reference of this, my brother Felix, chapter 28, Surah Qasas, and verse number 88. So easy reference, chapter 28 and verse 88. So that's the first point. Second one, my brother, when you know you've been to Cape Town, I think, my brother Felix, when you went to Cape Town, what you saw? You saw the two oceans. You saw, remember, the Indian Ocean, and then you saw the Atlantic Ocean. So you must remember that you find Maraj al-Bahrain, that there are two oceans, and in between Barzakhun, there is a partition. But the people can't see the partition, but the temperature is different, the color is different, the taste is different. So that is the power of Almighty Allah. He alone is in control of the entire universe and creation. So when a person dies, he enters a new realm. And the new realm he enters is وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. So it's called barzakh. How between the two oceans you find the partition? So this is dunya, this is the world, and the day of justice, and thereafter is the year after. So Almighty Allah teaches us in chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. So that person there, he will be in that barzakh, in the interspace, in between. So between dunya, this world, and akhirat, the year after. So that is where he will be. It's called barzakh till the day of resurrection. Easy example for you, my brother Felix. ABC person was taken from Durban because of the looting, plundering, and kept in custody. Court case next year, January, next year, February. So he's in custody. But the court case will take place afterwards. So these people who pass away, they are in custody. And remember that at the time when doomsday comes, the final day comes, the day of justice comes, then the court case will take place. But everything is known already. Even he will know that, because once you are in barzakh, in the interspace, then you will feel the breeze already of paradise and Jannah, and the mercy of Almighty Allah enveloping that person. And that person who died without Islam, without Iman, and he died on blasphemy, polytheism, idol worship, and so forth and so on. So remember, they will already feel the pain and all the problems while they are in custody. So therefore, we must continue with the effort that we continue believing in Islam, teaching Islam, propagating Islam to one and all and sundry. So that is our unanimous belief regarding this issue. Read more about it in chapter 23 and verse number 100 and 101.
Felix says, not from Phoenix, but he's from Morningside, Ustad.
Right, my brother. Morningside in the early morning.
Subhanallah. Sister Renel says, I don't know if you heard the breaking news, dear sir. She says that the country is going into a lockdown. Have you heard about this? And they say that the corona and the COVID is back in Johannesburg. Please take care and be safe, sir. Ustad Renel.
Remember that we mustn't in Islam, you must remember, my sister Anel, you are a journalist. I'm giving you one Quranic verse and one hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran is the direct speech of Almighty Allah, and hadith is the saying, pronouncements of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Write down, my sister Anel, chapter 49, surah 49, Surah Hujurat, verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ay iman walo, oh you who believe, 89 times this phrase has been used. In ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu, when a transgressor, a sinner, rumors just spread and so forth, so don't mention it until you have verified it. So first verify and then amplify. So that is what the Quran is teaching our sister Anel and esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, chapter 49 and verse number 6. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Kafa bil mar'i kadiba, ayyu haditha bi kulli ma sami'a. It's sufficient for a person to be a liar, that he just speaks everything that he hears without verifying it and without, you know, making thorough investigation. This is authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. So therefore, you know, today on social media, so many things are flying around. Some are truth, some are fake news, some are rumor mongering and so forth. Yesterday, my sister Anel, I don't know if you are in my group or not, but it might be a good idea for you to join the group. Just write there 071-888-1184 and say, add me to the group. And if you don't give me your name also, it's fine. People who don't give me their name, I just take their phone number, cell number. If it ends with 786 or 784 or 483, or I just take that number and I write it down. I say, this is the name of the contact. Anyway, to cut a long story short, so remember that I sent out last night one person asking pertinent questions, that these people here who are saying this happened, this happened, this happened, how much can we rely upon them? Is it a pandemic or is it a plandemic? That's also a pertinent question. So remember this, are governments involved? Are pharmaceutical companies involved? Are the media involved? Is this a plan? And so forth and so on. So remember, all these questions remain outstanding. So we must not have Islamically the herd mentality and behave like animals. Remember that Allah gave us intelligence and intellect. We must become a critical thinker and start questioning these things here. Everything they can see. So you must remember, already 1 month, 2 months ago, they told us the fourth wave will come in December and this wave will come. And how come you can't tell us about the wave of corruption? The millions and billions and trillions, where did disappeared? So they say, hi, Azi. I don't know. We don't know. So these are the people, we must hang them up on the toll roads, because now from next week, we will have start paying 20 rand approximately for our petrol. So remember, Anel, don't just be swallowing everything. You are a journalist. The journalist has to sift out everything and be a critical thinker. Personally, I don't believe in this pandemic. I say it's a plandemic. That is my verdict, my opinion. So that is what I say.
Viraj in Yuvraj says that their plan is they want to get a hall ustad and call all the non-Muslims. You plan the date and the time next year, 2022. Viraj in Yuvraj, so all the non-Muslims can come and meet you and, of course, ask you questions, ustad.
But you can ask me questions now. Why are we waiting for next year, my brother Viraj and Yuvraj? Nice names you got. I see it's rhyming also. Viraj and Yuvraj.
Yuvraj. Viraj and Yuvraj.
Yuvraj, fine. Apologies for that. So anyway, you can ask anything even now, my brother. I open the floor for whatever you have. And I promise you, we will not hide anything. That any Muslim can ask any question. Any non-Muslim can ask anything. And therefore, we are open, remember. We have transparency. We're not a politician. We are ordinary Muslim. Mm. And in Islam, we say that we want to propagate to the non-Muslims and educate the Muslims, and all khratas solely only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. So that is our mission, my brother. Thank you very much.
A new listener says, sir, I like your early morning songs you play. Sir, can I come visit you guys? I want to know more about Islam. Champion Mataba from Kwadugusa, Ustad.
MashaAllah, why you want to come here, my brothers? We're very far from you. Kwadugusa is Stenger, there in the north coast. So you know, you go there to Stenger, the big mosque there, you will see the big, you understand, pillar there. So the minaret we call, so there is a Maulana. So you go by him, Maulana Musaji. Oh, there's other Maulanas also. You just go there and tell them AK sent you, and they must help you out and so forth regarding Islam, regarding literature. So you go to Stenger Central, and there, remember, the big, there are 2-3 big mosques there. And any mosque you go, and you speak to them, and inshallah, they will assist you. Where are you going to come from? Durban, here to Johannesburg. And then, you know, they will tell you, you must pay so many tolls and all these type of things. So you just go there. Islam is international and global, and we have students, mashallah, everywhere as well. So mashallah, in the township also, in the central place also, wherever you are, or you want to go to Vellum, you want to go to Stenger, you want to go to Tongat, wherever you are, so just go to the mosque 1 o'clock, and there is prayer time, or sunset time, and then is prayer time, and you tell that Maulana AK sent you, and you want some literature, you interested in Islam, they'll help you. Last question.
There's an anonymous brother, Ustad, says that, isn't this betraying God? I was a Hindu, I went into Christianity, now I'm going into a Jew religion. Now they want me to accept Islam. Isn't that betraying God? Please could you answer me this question, Ustad?
Remember, it's not called betrayal, my brother. It is your quest for the truth. I don't know your brother or sister, but one message I will give you. If you are really, really sincere, then Allah will definitely guide you to the truth of Islam. Because you went through all the systems, you say, by your own admission, you were a Hindu, then you opted for Christianity, then you became a Jew, and then Islam. See, I teach you one thing of Islam which no religion has. We are the only people on the face of the earth that have a constitution from the time of the Prophet. So the Prophet on whom it was revealed, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You go to the Jews and ask them, where is your Torah? The one that was revealed to Prophet Moses, they don't have. You go to the Christians, where is the gospel, the Injil revealed to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him? They don't have. And none of them have memorized it. So that's one point. Second, our Islam is all inclusive. We believe in all the prophets and messengers. We believe in all the scriptures. We believe in all the angels. So by us, there's no pick and choose. So Islam's message for all people, all time, all places. May Almighty Allah guide you to the truth. And inshallah al-Aziz, tonight our lecture at 8:30, the prayer Isha time, there in King Ross, and after that, inshallah, the lecture. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.